Thanks so much for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's take a look at agriculture and family farms and young farmers and the future of sustainable agriculture. And we have a couple of guests for you today to do that and to make that conversation. Daphne Holterman is a lifelong farmer here in Wisconsin. She has extensive livestock and dairy experience. She's a mom of two daughters, including Taylor, and a spouse of one, Lloyd, who also happens to be her business partner. And they have their farm is Rosie Lane Holsteins near Watertown, Wisconsin. Taylor Holterman is a freshman at UW-Madison. She's majoring in my department, Life Sciences Communication. She's involved in the Association of Women in Agriculture, Badger Dairy Club, Collegiate Farm Bureau. And she was, when she was a little younger, active in 4-H and FFA as well. And she grew up on Rosie Lane Holsteins with her family. Well, so this is a family farm. And these folks have been doing it for a long, long time, and I thought it really interesting to talk with them about agriculture from their view and perspective, and certainly answer questions that you may have or comments that you may have regarding agriculture and where our food comes from. Does it matter to you? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page. You can post a question or a photograph right there at the Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. Daphne, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
Great to see you again.
Same here.
And Taylor.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you here as well. Well, Daphne, you've been farming for 30 years. Tell us about your farm.
Well, my husband Lloyd and I both grew up on farms. And we now have our own family farm just south of Watertown in Jefferson County, as you mentioned. We raise all the calves and heifers on our farm. We also raise some young bulls that go to genetic firms. And our milk that we produce every day, about a tanker load of milk, a little more than a semi-tanker, goes to Saputo near Waupun, and it's made into cheese there. And one of our favorites is Frigo Cheesehead string cheese, Larry, which we brought you some samples today.
Ooh,
to share.
Good.
All right, make sure you share. And everybody that tours our farm gets to sample that as well. So it came from our cow's milk, probably. And we raise corn and alfalfa and grasses to feed our cows. And we also have a young partner with us, Tim Strobel, and he manages the cropping and all the nutrient management plans. And he really complements us well because Lloyd and I like the cows and the calves, and Tim likes the crops. So we make a real good combination working together. And we also have a staff of about 20 people that work with us.
Wow. So and your acreage, how many acres?
We're farming about 1,300 acres.
Wow. And Taylor, you've been involved. Did you get started in working on the farm right away as a little kid?
Yes, I did. I started working on the farm, and I was also through 4-H showing dairy cattle and beef cattle at our local county fairs. I was also really involved in 4-H as a young member, whether through speaking contests or showing at those fairs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm wondering, Daphne, you've been doing it now for more than three decades. How has it changed?
Well, some things haven't changed, and I think that's important to note, that we care for our animals and land as the people before us did, so they gave us that opportunity, and we're caring for it as well now so that Taylor and other future generations can farm. Our operation is very cow-centric, and every decision we make is based on that cow and making her comfortable every minute of every day. There are some things that have changed. Computers, I think that's changed a lot of people's lives in a lot of ways, but we get more information that helps us make better decisions to keep our cows happier, if you want to say that. We use computers to help us decide when to breed a cow or a heifer based on a pedometer that they wear, so we know how many steps they're taking, and that information is updated every few hours. We can actually watch the milking parlor and our birthing area from our phones with special apps on our phones, with our smartphones. So that's a good thing to do, and it helps us save a few steps because we used to walk back and forth a lot. So that's a little easier.
And a pedometer for the cows.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I didn't realize that you had pedometers.
Right, and they also tell us other information when the cow comes in and is milked. A laser reads that pedometer and tells us the conductivity of her milk. It's a measure of quality, how much milk she gave, how long it took her to milk, and a few other timely things, how many times she got up And we're able to monitor the cows, and we're watching them as we move them back and forth from their pen to the milking parlor. And it's three times a day they come in to get milked. So we use a lot of computer information to help us and guide us in our decisions. We do a lot more with business and finance on the farm than we used to. Genetics have improved greatly, both with our crops and with our cows. So Lloyd's thing is breeding genetics, cows that live longer, that are healthier, that have better reproductive traits. So we're doing all those things to improve what we have. And also, there, I think, are more opportunities out there for us. It used to be we had one or two opportunities a year, and now it seems like there's one every day to make something better, build something new, buy something, borrow some more money.
Yeah.
First year farming spent $5,000 on a field cultivator. This day and age, we're buying tractors that can cost $200,000 and more.
Wow.
So the scale has changed, and you just have to know your numbers a lot better.
Well, $200,000 for a tractor, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people out there would say, well, you could buy a whole farm and all of the equipment on it for even less than that. Not that many years back.
Yeah, maybe. But they have GPS on them, and you can do a lot of things. You use the tractors more often and doing more things with them.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure of that. And, Taylor, this is your first year of college.
Correct.
So you and I have had some conversations about courses and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
yes.
You've had a lot of time to decide on what to specialize in, but how did you decide to follow this direction first?
Well, it really jump started from growing up on a farm. I was feeding calves when I was little. I was milking cows, and I was also just helping my parents with any thing in the barn and anything on the farm in general. I've also done financial filing, done paperwork with my mom, so I've seen a little bit of the business aspect of farming from every angle. So that has really given me a background in what agriculture is, and I can also see all the opportunities and challenges that agriculture has every day, and I know I want to be a part of it because of growing up on the farm. And I also know that I want to study agriculture because of my involvement in FFA and 4-H. I've networked with the great people I know as agriculturalists. I've met people from all over the country through 4-H and FFA. And as well, now being involved in Collegiate Farm Bureau, Badger Dairy Club, and Association of Women in Agriculture all give me opportunities to network, and I know I want to stay in the agriculture industry.
Talking today with Daphne and Taylor Holterman about, they are from a family farm, a large family farm, talking with them about the future of sustainable agriculture, talking about young farmers getting into agriculture. You may have a question. Are you involved in agriculture, or have you not been involved and have some questions about it? I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Be interested also in hearing from other farmers who may have input and comments to share about the state of agriculture. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. I'm wondering, do you think a lot of young people see agriculture as a viable career path these days?
Right now, no, I don't think many people do. And I think a lot of the reason is because they haven't gotten the chance to be exposed to agriculture. And I think the people that I surround myself with, and because I'm in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, many of the people I do know do see agriculture as a viable career path because it is. And because we've had the backgrounds in FFA, 4-H, and agricultural clubs here on campus. They are usually kids that grow up on a farm. However, that's definitely not a prerequisite for anything working in agriculture. Everybody has opportunities in agriculture. Get out there and learn about it.
Let's talk a bit more now about size of operation. And, you know, and I think there's a feeling out there, big farms, it's going to be tough on the environment. It's going to be hard on the local community if we've got a great big farm out there. And you have a pretty good-sized farm, Daphne. How do you respond to those kinds of issues?
Well, I think we're what I would consider a medium-sized farm, and we have many regulations that we have to follow because of our size and the number of animals we have on site. So we have very particular plans for managing our nutrients, and we participate in all kinds of community activities. You know, I don't think it really matters so much what your size is. I think it matters more what your attitude is about the future and about making the most of each day. And we love taking care of cows and calves, and that makes us happy. And it really works well because we know we found our niche in life is to care for animals. And so I don't think size is a big issue anymore. I think it's the farmers just realize that that's what they're meant to do, and everybody finds their own way. There's many different options. We need all kinds of farmers in Wisconsin. There's different sizes, different commodities, different types of farming. There's just lots of options.
And the regulations, those have probably grown considerably, too, over time, have they not?
Sure, and some of the things we've done ourselves. We recently went through a safety audit for our animals and our employees, and we're going to continue with training for our staff on that. We feel it's important, and we have nutrient management plans we follow. There's just all kinds of things that we're doing, environmental plans and emergency plans that are there in case we need them, and I think every farm should have that. If there's a tornado coming, you know what to do and where to go.
We have callers online. Jeff in Monroe, let's turn to you. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My mind is I know Daphne's been involved with young farmers that are both not family and family members. And my question is how that has worked and what is the method of bringing them to be part of the farm?
That's a great question. And I just now took a glance over at the clock and realized we have to take a short break here. So we're going to keep, Jeff, you want to stick around, please do. Otherwise, we'll keep that thought in mind, that question in mind, and we'll be back with our two guests today, Daphne Holterman and Taylor Holterman, right after a look at the news. Stay with us. Agriculture is a cornerstone of Wisconsin's culture and economy, and dairy farmers certainly play a key role in that whole process. It's not an easy life, I don't think, but it's hard to think of one maybe that's more rewarding. Larry Mueller here. So glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Daphne Holterman owns Rosie Lane Holstein with her husband and works to promote and support young people in farming. And her daughter, Taylor, is studying at the UW College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. And they're here to talk about life on the farm and the importance of educating the people about where and how their food is raised. Did you grow up on a farm? Did you make it your career? Maybe you just have questions about it. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post a question on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'll be back right after the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at sustainable agriculture and its future today, and young farmers and getting involved here in Wisconsin in agriculture. Our guests, two guests for you, Daphne Holterman, longtime farmer here in Wisconsin, farms with her husband at Lloyd near Watertown, Wisconsin, and her daughter with us as well, Taylor, who's a freshman at UW-Madison, majoring in life sciences communication, involved in lots of things, Association of Women in Agriculture, Collegiate Farm Bureau, Badger Dairy Club, among others. So it's great to have them here to talk about what's going on the farm and certainly to answer your questions when you call in. Maybe you want to know where the food comes from, or does it matter to you? Love to hear what questions you have at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Go to my Facebook page, too, at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post there. And Jeff in Monroe had a question relating to getting non-family members involved in the farming operation, in your farming operation, Daphne. Maybe we can talk a bit about that.
Sure. Tim Strobel is our partner, and he actually started working on our farm when he was probably 14, pushing up feed in the mangers and doing some of the extra hard work in the barn, and he grew into that and went to Madison here in short course for 2 years, farm and industry short course, and after a while it just became obvious he loved farming, and at that time our farm was growing, and we offered him a chance to buy into our farm operation, and we created a business structure just for that, and I think it was important that he brought new talents to our farm. We did the cows, and we needed a person to do crops and equipment, so that's worked out very well. So now he's an owner in our business structure, and it continues to grow, and we're humming right along, I think. We've also got high school students that work part-time for us, and I think they're exploring careers in agriculture on our farm, and they've been on other types of farms. And we've also in the past had interns from colleges that came to work on our farms. Some of them now own their own farms. Some are part of their family farms, and some have other options. We have job shadows, too, where people get to come and try it out.
And you've been involved in the Outstanding Young Farmer Program, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Lloyd and I were honored in 1994, and just because it was such a good thing for us at the right time in our careers to give us a pat on the back and say, hey, you're heading in the right direction, I felt that was really important that continue. So been involved in the state program since then, and we honor 8 or 12 farmers every year at the state level.
We have Alice from Two Harbors, Wisconsin, next. Alice, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. My brother is married to, his wife is a large farming family, and it started out with two young people and back in the 40s, and now it is a family business, and like our speaker says, they've hired on so many levels. But what amazes me is, like, it's on its fourth generation, and the generation before took these beautiful tractors, and they calculated with a computer how many inches, I mean, not feet, inches, that this tractor works on a GPS. The last time I went down, now the young one that went to college and got an ag degree, he's got a computer up inside the cab. And lo and behold, it has Wall Street on it. And he watches the price, and it determines whether his feed goes to storage or whether he puts it on a truck and take it to market. So I just think it's just marvelous what they've come up with now. So I'll let you go, and you can talk about other big machines.
Thanks a lot, Alice, for calling. Daphne, you want to expand on that?
Oh, yeah. As I mentioned, there's just a lot of information out there, and agriculture truly is global. My husband Lloyd happened to be in Bulgaria last week. He was asked to go over there with the Babcock Institute and address their farmers and tell them how we do our management here so they can learn some tidbits and help bring their dairy industry along. So really global, and we're watching all the markets too, and it's not just the corn market. We're watching the price of gold. That reflects all kinds of things that could happen to agriculture and have ripple effects. So we have to be pretty worldly today in agriculture.
And Amy emailed, part of this whole technology thing, you mentioned pedometers, having the cows on pedometers, and she was wondering how many steps do the cows have to walk in a day?
Well, that I'm not sure the raw numbers, because the computer takes it for us and graphs it, so we see pretty graphs when the cows' steps are green on the graph, and it also shows how much milk they gave and how much time they were in the parlor. So all those things appear on a nice graph for us to tell. So it's really visually easy to see that there needs to be some action if that's the case. So I don't know the raw number of steps, but it's in the computer if I could look it up, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, Liz emailed, and we'll get Ann and James, we'll get to you in just a minute here, but Liz emailed and wanted to know, I wanted you to talk about your business model, because maybe expand on that, how you use human resources and organization techniques that, you know, a Fortune 500 company might use.
Well, I just hope that everybody that comes to our farm to work every day loves working with animals. I think they do, or they wouldn't still be there. And we want them to feel like they're part of the farm. So we give our employees a lot of ability to give input on what's happening every day, how to do something bigger or how to do something better. And we're always asking for input. We're there every day. So we all work as a team, and I think that's an important concept, too. We all work together to keep those cows humming along and very, very healthy. So, for instance, a couple months earlier this year, we had cows that were not sick for, I believe it was 8 weeks in a row. We didn't have anybody that was really sick. So that was quite a
accomplishment. And that's a lot of cows, yeah. A lot of calves.
We have 800 calves and heifers on site as well. And, you know, that's a lot to take care of every day.
And nobody's sick for 8 weeks straight.
With our cows, right.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment. You know, just thinking back about technology, I was, this sort of maybe add to this, I may have mentioned, that probably did mention this on the show in the past, but my wife and I were out for a fish dinner on Friday night here a while back, probably last fall, with a farm couple. And he said, oh, I forgot about irrigating the beans. And he reaches in his pocket and pulls out his cell phone and dials in, and he's talking to the computer, and the computer starts up the watering. And he said he gets a message with if something were to break down or stop, you'll get a notice, and a female voice will say, the irrigator, the irrigation is broken down in field number 19 or whatever, and it's amazing. I assume you guys do this as something maybe similar to that.
We're monitoring our birthing area. You know, we can do it from our phones. We usually just do it from our office, and the birthing area is just, you know, a few steps away. But we like to let the cows do it on their own if we can, and we're always watching. And, of course, in the wintertime, it's nicer for us to sit in the office and watch them on the video camera. We have cameras all around our farm for safety issues, just to watch what's happening with the equipment and who's coming and going.
Let's turn to Ann now in Janesville. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I'm really enjoying your show. I grew up on a small farm in southeastern Minnesota, so I have fond memories of going after the cows and showing some dairy cattle and 4-H and, of course, doing some of the tractor driving that was required. But today farmers and farms have become so large, and I know to meet the needs of doing all that labor-intensive work, you need, you know, the equipment, which you talked about, of course, runs very high in price. So that, in my mind, means that you need increased production to meet the needs of meeting those expenses. So I, as a consumer now, no longer being on the farm, but having many young grandchildren, worry about the use of chemicals and pesticides that are used for this increased production, and then the health implications that that has for us as consumers. So I wish you would address that, please. Yeah. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ann, very much for calling. And Daphne, I know you have been hoping to be able to address just that question.
Yes, I think everyone wants to know where their food comes from, and we are two or three generations removed as a society. I know I want to know where my food comes from, and we have to take time to read labels, ask questions, and my big emphasis this past year has been telling people, well, please ask a real farmer. If you're not sure, ask a real farmer. There is some food fear out there, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention to some of those bits of information, but you need to research that out and find out what's really happening with your food. And as consumers, we need to do that, take responsibility for ourselves and what we eat and what we feed our families. And farmers have done a great job historically of producing food. Boy, we can do it. There's nothing keeping us back from that. We're productive. I learned economies of scale here at college, so that's an important thing to help pay for some of those things. But when we take care of our cows, they produce more milk, and they're happy doing it. And we've been humming along with our cows for quite a while now. And when you take care of them, they take care of you. So it's kind of a two-way street there. And consumers, we need to have a conversation with them about food. And that's why we open up our farm. That's why we have a Facebook page. So we want to start that conversation and talk more.
And you should talk a bit more about that. You actually do a fair number of tours, if I'm not mistaken, and talk about your Facebook page, too.
Right. About a year ago, we started a Facebook page for our farm. So we've posted on there how we harvest our crops and the different things that happen on our farm, calves that are born and things that happen occasionally. On Friday, I'm going to a fourth and fifth grade classroom to talk about farming, and they'll be visiting our farm later in June when it warms up. And on Saturday, we're having Cub Scout group come out with their families. And so we always just show them what we do and explain why we do it. And I think people go away with just a different appreciation for what happens on farms. And it's important that we produce high-quality food, and all the things we do relate to that.
Darlene in Oconomowoc has a comment. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I am a farm girl. I grew up right on the line of Jefferson, Waukesha County. 4-H was everything to me, and it helped me in that. When I got married, I was in Waukesha County. My brother, I had brothers that went to Madison with a 5-year course, and he was just retired from International Harvester and has some patents and that. I have another brother that was went to the short course, and he is a trucker and a rancher, and he's back now. Of course, my age is that, and then I have 8 children too, and a 7-year-old. And to me, 4-H was the essential for living on the farm. And just recently, two Jims, my husband was Jim and that, and we're both widows. And it happened like, she's a farmer and, a teacher, and, couldn't believe it. He had died of, at Christmas, news he had cancer 3 weeks. But they were lucky enough to have one son take over the farm. They had harvester sales. And it's just, we also need to educate our children, everybody. Selling when you get pushed out and selling the farms and that isn't going to be forever. You've covered up with cement, and that there goes your best land and stuff. And we're back to where we were. We're back to where we were with the food. We're doing organic. We're doing crop rotation and smaller. And people are wondering why did we have such we need food that doesn't have so many salts in them and stuff. And here we were. That's where we were before.
Thank you for calling, Darlene. Daphne, comment from you?
I think farmers have been sustainable for a long time, and we've been caring for the land, and we've kind of just taken it for granted, and now there's been a resurgence in that particular concept, and we're re-looking at that, how we can maximize being sustainable, both environmentally and economically, so your farm can continue. There's lots of different choices that people make and that families can make, and things go in cycles, no matter what it is. Sometimes you return to the original and find out certain things that do work better, whether it's homeopathic medicine. There's all kinds of things it's constantly changing. There's a body of knowledge out there, and we have to keep on top of that as farmers. So, yeah, there's some things we're rediscovering and reemphasizing some of those good old things that maybe were pretty good to begin with, but we had to cycle around and learn that.
And Taylor, Darlene mentioned 4-H, and I was involved. I was in 4-H until I couldn't. They kicked me out. They kick you out, I think, when you're 18, and that's when I left. But what about 4-H for you as a?
I was a 4-H member for 12 years, starting with Clover Buds when I was 5 years old. And through 4-H, I was able to show dairy cattle, show beef cattle. I've showed sheep. I've also done cooking and sewing and things like that. Agriculture is so broad, and 4-H encompasses everything. Also, I was involved in things like dairy promotion, learning how to promote dairy products, learning how to talk to people about agriculture. And that's part of what I want to do in the future.
Sandra, well, you and I are kind of in the same boat. I told a group one time that I didn't get involved with UW Extension until I was 5 years old. And it sounds like you had about the same experience getting started at 5 with 4-H, which is, of course, a part of UW Extension. Darlene, thank you. Gary in Boscobel, thank you for calling. Hello.
Thank you, Larry. I'd like to ask your guest how she feels about the current trend here, especially in southern Wisconsin, of the grain farming mentality in the farming industry. And I see a rapid increase in bulldozing of woodlots and fence rows, plowing up of wildlife habitat, and actually plowing a lot of land that's too steep or really unsuitable for row crops, and using the belief that conservation tillage and minimum tillage will preserve our landscape. And And in spite of the fact that your guest says the farmers really care for their land and their soil, there's an awful lot of corporation farmers that really don't care that much about taking care of the land as long as they can continue to squeeze profit out of it. I like her feedback on that.
All right, thanks for calling. Daphne?
Well, I do know that 98% of our farms are family-owned. There's different business structures, but 98% of the land is farmed by farmers and families. And everybody makes choices, and I think in Wisconsin we've made good choices in most cases because we plant alfalfa. It has deep roots that holds the soil, and the cows can utilize alfalfa in their stomachs. So W.D. Hoard brought the dairy cow to Wisconsin, and pretty much the rest is history because we produce milk and we produce cheese, and it's been a great story. There's always going to be exceptions to that. I have traveled out of state and seen some land that, yeah, needs a little bit of help. And I guess that's why we continually need to talk about conservation programs and diversion terraces, contour strips, lots of different ways you can create a good environment. And Wisconsin has had Working Lands Initiative, where we do want to keep our lands preserved, but also have them working lands and allow people to nurture them along and keep that land sustainable for the long term.
What are the crops that you raise on your farm?
We grow corn for silage, which we chop when it's green, and we also have alfalfa and grass. And we've actually planted the grasses with the alfalfa. It gives us more yield per acre. The stand will last longer, so instead of 3 years, maybe 3.5 or 4 years longer. It also gives us more protein or energy per acre when we harvest it by putting the two crops together. So we're really creating more energy off that acre of land because we're using two different kinds of plants together. So, and it's better for the cows because they have more fiber in their diet, just like more fiber is good for people too.
Just as an aside, I'm wondering, with the really early spring, how that has affected for you guys the alfalfa crop, because I would think you'd be harvesting alfalfa quite a bit earlier.
We probably will be. It's pretty tall right now. It's coming along. We had a little rain shower now, about an inch this weekend. So it's going to be growing, and we'll harvest probably a week or two sooner than normal. So we'll be at it here in mid-May, I guess.
How many croppings do you get off a field in a year?
On an average, we would cut alfalfa three times. And if it's our last year on that particular stand, say it's 3 years old, we would probably cut it four times. And some of the land, if it's good productive land, we've had good rain, they might be cutting it four times.
And do you rotate crops around?
Yes, we do. Crop rotation is one of the sustainable things we do. So we plant alfalfa for 3 or 4 years, then we put a year of corn in, and then we go back to alfalfa.
And what about soybeans? You raise any soybeans?
No soybeans.
No, you're not a bean farm
no.
at all.
No, we need that corn silage and the alfalfa for the cows.
We had an email from Ellen in Wausau who says she'd like to restart their family farm. But her father keeps saying that the time for the family farm has come and gone. And is it economically feasible to have a family farm anymore? And maybe, I can have either one of you. Taylor, do you want to take a shot first?
Sure. Well, the family farm definitely has not come and gone. As my mom had mentioned, 98% of farms are family owned. And it is definitely economically feasible depending on how you set it up, how you run it. It just depends on your goals and exactly what type of farm you want to have.
Yeah. Anything to add to that?
Well, there's a will, there's a way, and things are changing. You have to look at farming as a business, too, and think about it in a whole different way. So there may be a different kind of farm that you're running. You may be doing different kinds of things or growing something a different kind of crop. You just have to look at all the possibilities and talk to lots of people and do some research and have an internship on a couple farms. I bet that would open up a lot of doors.
Yeah. And you talk about sustainable and being sustainable. How do you define sustainability?
I think it's just keeping something in as good shape as you received it so that it's there for the next generation also. We do things like minimum tillage on our soils. We follow a nutrient management plan. We do lots of things within the dairy, too, that are sustainable. For instance, we try and use as little water as possible. We reuse water three times when we're cleaning our milking system, and we use well water twice to help cool the milk, and then the water is lukewarm by that time, and we pump it out, and the cows drink it. So there's lots of different ways that we're trying to be truly sustainable, and we want our business to be sustainable as well.
Yeah, and I mean, all those things sound to me like not only sustainable, but you're going to save. Frankly, it's smart because it'll save money as well.
Energy efficient and investing in new equipment, it is always going to be a better situation for the farm in the most part if you're doing your research ahead of time.
Are you going to be staying about where you are now, or are you going to try and expand more? What's in your future?
We've been looking at lots of different options, and I guess right where we are, it's getting suburbanized, and our limitation is land to spread the manure on that our cows produce. So we're looking at other options to diversify. In the past, we've done milk trucking, and we recently sold that business to one of our employees, so now that's his thing.
His job.
Right, and we're looking at lots of different options. We're growing in quality. And we may be just having the milking cows on our farm and put our heifers at a different location. But we'll see. We're looking at lots of different options.
And what's your Facebook page again?
Rosie Lane Holsteins. That's R-O-S-Y hyphen L-A-N-E Holsteins.
And it's been great to have you both with us. Thank you both very much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Daphne and Taylor Holterman. Daphne's farmed for 30 years. Her daughter, Taylor, with us today to talk about agriculture. Thank you for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.